Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius, only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
The holiday season is off and rolling, with NFL in full stride and the NBA and NHL hitting mid-season form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info. With up-to-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, BetOnline is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports. And not just the big four. BetOnline has info available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that is played, from MMA to international soccer. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BLEAV, that's capital letters BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
And we're back for another episode of Topic Thunder. I am your host today, Matty Double Dribbles at Matt Tierney, and I am joined today by my lovely co-host, Alex Roig at Alex Roig underscore NBA. Alex, what's up?
Not much, man. Just happy for a win. I haven't felt this in a while. It feels good.
I accidentally connected to my phone, so I heard nothing you just said there. Could you say that again?
I just said that it felt good that we won. I haven't felt this in a while.
Okay. I was like, why am I not hearing him on my headphones? And I was like, oh, it's connected to my phone. Okay. It was a great win. It felt like we kind of needed it. We were skidding a little bit in the Los Angeles area.
I want to say this. I feel like we needed this kind of game. Not like a blowout win, not like a Portland 62-point win, nothing like that. I feel like we needed a competitive back and forth. Like, listen, if we don't score on this possession, we might lose this game because the momentum's going that way. And so I felt like we needed this kind of game to kind of, you know, get that taste out of our mouth of these last two LA games and move forward from here.
Yeah. So real quick, just before we talk about tonight's game. So we won 134-129 in Utah. It was very much like a playoff game, but we can get into that in a second because we didn't talk about the Clippers game. Dylan did the morning podcast, so we did have something out there we had with the Jake Fisher interview. But the Clippers game was definitely disheartening because of a couple of reasons. One, I mean, Shea and Chet were not great. I think we can probably safely say that Shea was hurt-ish.
A bit hobbled.
We were at the Magic game where that happened. And in the moment, it didn't really seem like much. But then after the Lakers game and then this game, it was like, yeah, he's clearly kind of hurt. Yeah, shout out JP in the chat. Jalen Wilshere for the All-Star next year. Put your bets in wherever you can get them, for sure. We'll get to him in a minute. But yeah, the Clippers game wasn't great for that reason, and also because just the amount of shots that they were making in that game, despite the fact that we were contesting them pretty well, was disheartening. So it was nice to we weren't necessarily better in the Utah game in terms of shot protection or closeouts, but we forced turnovers, which Utah Jazz love to do. And we are statistically the best at creating turnovers as well as not giving up turnovers. So that was like a thing you had to look at coming into tonight's game. And then offensively, I mean, when you score 134 points, it's a great game. It's a lot of really highly efficient shooting. And I mean, we'll just mention it since JD said in that, like, Jalen Williams was incredibly efficient. 27 points on 11 of 14 shooting, 4 or 5 from deep, 4 threes in a game from J-Dub. That's I mean, that's impressive.
It's two huge ones in the fourth quarter.
Two very big ones. I mean, fourth quarter J-Dub is inevitable. I posted on Twitter the Thanos meme. He just comes every night. He snaps his fingers and he's there. So yeah, just really efficient night from him. Really efficient night from Kaysen, who was
career high.
He was subbing in for Lou, who was sick. Jang was sick too tonight. So he came in and was incredibly efficient as well. Also, really great job defensively. We can get into that in a second, but just to kind of finish up on the efficiency standpoint, Kenrich Williams was pretty efficient too. Micić came in and got some good minutes offensively, at least. And then Shea. I'll get to Shea in a second, but then Giddey was the last guy I wanted to mention too. The Giddey minutes tonight were, it felt like at the first half, he was just taking the threes. Like Utah was like, hey, shoot those shots. We'll let you have them. That's fine. Take them. And he made one. Great. But he was 1 of 5. But then all of a sudden, it felt like in the third quarter, he was like, let's do the thing I can do that I'm efficient at. And we're going to find the open lane. We're going to cut to it off the ball. And people are going to find me. And I'm just going to finish at the rim. And it's like, great. That is exactly what you got to do. That's the perfect Giddey in my eyes. So I also wanted to quickly do a shout out there for his efficiency, at least in the second half.
It's almost like he had a burden lifted off his shoulders or something like that.
Yeah, I don't really know what changed between. I mean, maybe it was just Coach Dagnall was like, "Hey, dude, stop. You gotta do this. You see this lane? See this open lane right here where the basket is wide open." Run that direction,
or maybe police just aren't bothering him anymore.
Yeah, we haven't done a podcast since then. So the news broke that Josh Giddey. I don't really want to get into it too much. It said that they didn't pursue.
Nobody was participating in the investigation as far as, like, you know, her family, her. Like, they were like, we don't want any part of this. And so kind of a situation where no information, you know, you can't just move forward with it. And so they closed it out.
It's kind of just like a no story at the end of the day. Like nothing was ever found. So I think people took sides, whatever. We're just going to leave it where it is. Cause I think that's the only thing we can really do. But yeah, people were making that joke online, like, hey, Giddey's, you know, a little freer now, so he's improving his game. I don't think that really had any difference to do with it, but you know, whatever. But anyway, let's get into I kind of skimmed over the top of everybody, so I apologize. I kind of took a lot of players there that I mentioned, but I want to kind of I want to double back and let's talk about some, our favorite guys and kind of dive into them a little bit more. So we'll go single large item, Alex. A lot of great guys to choose from. Both sides of the ball played really well tonight. Who do you want to pick as your single large item?
I mean, did you already pick J-Dub? Because you discussed him a lot.
I don't know. I did discuss him a lot, but I also feel I just kind of went with you put the thing in the chat and I was just like, hey, let's talk about him. You know, I just had to roll with it. So, but, I mean if that's your single large item, let's talk go. About him
let's
more.
Roll. Yes. So yeah. Jalen Williams, man, like just what a luxury to have him on this team and just see him perform in the fourth quarter every night, man. It seems like, you know, we like to attach adjectives to names whenever something, you know, sometimes something looks good. And, you know, fourth quarter dub, that was something that, okay, you know, he performs, you know, he does a lot of his damage whenever Shea and Chet are sitting out in the beginning of the fourth quarter. And, oh, look, you know, he's taking a lead and he's extending it, or he's taking a deficit and he's cutting into it. And he's almost single-handedly doing it by himself, like his drives to the, you know, into the lane with the pull-up, three-point shooting, just managing the entire offense, sometimes finding the open guy. But it's becoming a thing. Like, it is becoming something that it's almost expectant almost every game. And I think teams are starting to kind of key in on it, and it doesn't matter. Like, he's going out there and he is – like, I think he went into the fourth quarter with, like, I want to say, like, 13 points.
And I was trying to pull up his numbers by quarter. But, yeah, I'll check while you're finishing that thought.
Yeah, but, he ended the game with 27 points. 11 of 14 shooting. That's the other thing in this. Like, he's shooting three-pointers, high-pressure three-pointers, and they're just no rim at all. Like, it's just swishing, like, not even thinking about it. And, again, it's just – it's becoming a thing, and like I was watching this game, and I was like, "This guy's gonna be great," because I've always said that he gives me Scottie Pippen / Kawhi Leonard vibes, because mm-hmm. his you know, his length, his wingspan, how he plays defense. Probably he's never gonna be known as a great defensively like Pippen and Kawhi are, but I think that other mixture of like what he does offensively and how his game is kind of very similar to SGA's while also having its own, you know, its own, I guess, individuality. It's just great. It's just amazing to see him grow and to see him progress in year two. He had a little bit of a rough start there at the beginning of the year. He's picking it up a hell of a lot here recently. And I just think that what we saw in this game was somebody that is, number one, totally confident in his role, and number two, completely starting to excel in that role of, hey, whenever the fourth quarter starts and those guys are on the bench, it is my job, it is my duty to go ahead and propel us forward, you know, to go ahead and either push a lead forward or to cut into a deficit. And in this game, you know, we went into the fourth quarter and Utah had all the momentum. Okay. Hey, can you keep?
Yeah. Going? So I was gonna say, I was gonna bring up, I brought the quarter by quarter stats. So yeah, Jalen Williams, 16 points from quarter one through three, and then by quarter four, that's when he went off. We had 11 points. He went 4 of 4 from the field. Like Alex mentioned, 2 of 2 from deep. Two really big threes. 3 assists, and then a steal and a block. I mean, that's all just in the fourth quarter. So. They were talking about on the broadcast too, where he says it's not a switch. He just has it all the time. I think there is kind of a switch. Like, he just, whenever it's Shea is on the bench and his production is not there, he knows like it's his time to shine and he can just do it. He could probably do it for all, you know, 30, however many minutes he played. But he knows when to pick his spots. So it's becoming more clear that every time we see these highly efficient numbers from Jalen, you just got to wonder in the back of your head, what if he shot like 20 shots a game, or was drawing more fouls. He only went one of two from the free throw line. Like, what does that increase in usage and increase in production look like? And I honestly think it's a very promising thing. Like, I think he's an all-star. He's a lock in the future. I think Cone mentioned this on Twitter. I think he's an all-NBA player down the road. I think all of those, just seeing the trajectory he's on from now to his halfway through his sophomore season, is fantastic. So Jalen Williams definitely was the highlight of the game in terms of just like, hey, this guy's breaking out for sure. So I'll pivot to my single large item, and we'll see if Alex gets back. If not, that's okay. I can honestly keep talking forever. It's fine. So I wanted to mention Cason Wallace a little bit more. I mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast, but he was in for Lu Dort. And as we've come to grow accustomed with his game, he's also an incredibly efficient player, both offensively, defensively. I want to start with defensively, because tonight he had a steal and a block. I want to shout that out because I had him over 1.5 steals and blocks today. So great job, Cason. But the one block he had at the end, which got me that cover, was a very important block. I believe it was on Keyonte George, and it was also on a three. His ability to like rise up and his length in general, for the size that he is, I think he's 6'4". It is remarkable. It's always just surprising to me how well he can use his length and the size that he has. So defensively, a phenomenal game, but the four threes also were part of a very important offensive production tonight. The big three, the biggest three, was to put OKC up, I believe, by five. So it was about 118, 120, something like that. And the first really good shot, which I do want to mention, was from Shea. It was when the shot clock was going down and there was really no shot. The play was kind of dead. He just kind of did a fadeaway, two guys in his face, and he knocked it down. It was a really clutch shot, awesome shot by Shea. But then the next drive was the big three, and that was a Cason.
A
Cason play. Yeah.
I hate to drop out, man, but I got a home emergency going on in my house.
No worries.
A plumbing emergency, so
it happens. All right, no worries. All right, I can talk. All good. Right,
I'm out.
All right, see ya. If you are in the chat on YouTube, send me any questions because I can go over them now that Alex had to step away. You know, stuff happens. But I'll keep talking a little bit more. There's plenty to talk about in this game, and then we'll maybe talk about the Bruce Brown trade, or not the Bruce Brown trade, but the possibility of it. Any other trade rumors you guys have you want to bring up too? Let me know in the chat if you're in here in the YouTube. Shout out if you're in the YouTube. So yeah, just really quickly finishing on Cason. That three, like I was saying, really important to kind of keep the lead in the 5-7 range, which is what it was for most of the game until, till the end, because it was a 5-point lead at the end. So shout out to Cason. I already talked about Giddey a little bit. I said the things I want to say about him. He was on triple double watch. He had 12, 6, and 6 at the half, but he ended up with 4 assists short, 20, 10, and 6 with a steal. Shot 50% from the field, 8 of 16, 1 of 5 from deep. So the guy we haven't talked about yet that I want to mention, as always, it's important to bring him up, is Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. We talked about how at the beginning, he does seem hurt. I did have his last few games up, but I think I, in a very stupid fashion, decided to get rid of it, but I can pull it up right now because it's in my history. So usually we are used to like these highly efficient games because all of Shea's shots are like these mid-range either step backs or fadeaways, or like he just makes contact and gets free throws. Like, he's a very efficient guy. But if you look at prior to the Orlando game, which is when we thought he all got hurt in the month of January, starting the first month, he had one kind of inefficient game. He was 14 of 22 against Boston. Then Atlanta, he was 11 of 24, 11 of 19 against Brooklyn, 17, 11 of 15, 13, 20. And that 13 to 20 was the Orlando game. And so all those are like, you know, 60%, high 50s, even high mid 70s in the Portland game. So really efficient shooting. And then all of a sudden the Lakers and the Clippers game, he's 9-19 against the Lakers, 47%, 6-16 against the Clippers, 38%. Like, those are not normal numbers. And then tonight he was 8-15. So a tick over 50%. So better, but still not like quite the level of efficiency you come to expect. And it's kind of crazy to say, but you expect all of the Shea mid-range shots to go in. Like, that's where we are right now. And when you see this many not go in, it's like, it just, it doesn't feel right. And, you know, we're pretty spoiled in that sense, but I think that does attribute to a little bit of a lingering gimpy leg, if you want to call it that. So, but it does seem to be getting better. Like, he's not settling for outside shots as much as he was in the Clippers game. Shout out Moles in the chat. Love you, dude. By the way, I just realized your avatar is the same as our, whatever. I'm getting distracted. But anyway, the Shea game was still good in a different way because he was able to get to the line so much. He almost tied season high for most free throw attempts. His high is 18. He ended up with 17, shot 15-7 from there. He was getting the whistle tonight, which is good to see. We have not seen that in at least the earlier parts of the season. So that was kind of helping him keep his offensive production up a little bit, despite the fact that the mid-range and the outside shots just weren't totally there. Like, at least we've grown accustomed to. But he ended up with 31-6-6. Also got a steal. Also got a block. Had him steals and blocks 1.5. So shout out Shea for that defensive performance as well. That one block he had also was, I don't think it was three, but it was like a kind of a long mid-range, which also happened in the fourth, if I remember correctly. I'd have to double check on that. So both Kaysen and Shea with some really good different plays at the end there. The other guy I wanted to mention is a couple of guys, maybe. Kenrich Williams, I thought, had a good game in the sense that he was not forcing shots too much. I thought that it was really easy for the Thunder in general to sort of find the lanes, to cut to the lanes, to drive to the lanes, and get to the rim very easily with this Jazz defense. It's you know, not the best. And I think Kenrich took advantage pretty well throughout most of the game. It wasn't incredibly efficient night because I did think he took a little too many outside shots. I know he's like a 40% three-point shooter, but it's definitely...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent, being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now,
You're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's one.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
It felt like that's fallen off a lot in the last like month, I'd say. So I'm not like as comfortable with him taking a lot of those outside shots. Alex is back. So the emergency is gone. That's fantastic.
It's not just turned off the lever because I think my water heater is completely kaput. So
oh well dang. Okay. Well if you need to go, that's fine.
No, I don't. There's not much that I can do.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I was gonna open up. I talked about Shea a little bit. I was just mentioning Ken Rich's game, how it felt like we were kind of getting to the paint a little bit more tonight. And so I think it helped his offensive performance. And then
I think the team did a great job of breaking the zone by flashing that guy, you know, in the middle. Usually it's Ken Rich, sometimes it's Chet, sometimes J-Dub, sometimes Giddy. But I think they did a great job of flashing that guy in there and allowing him to either dictate where to go with the ball or to drive it in and maybe get a better shot.
Yeah, I think we've seen them struggle with zones in the past. They mentioned that in the halftime report too, how they've been working on the zone. So you could clearly see that paid off. So the couple other guys I did want to mention, Micić had another offensively pretty good game. He did have a couple of turnovers. Well, he actually only had one turnover on the stat sheet, but I feel like he had a couple at the beginning, but then sort of settled in. The no-look passes were still fire, but he was efficient in the minutes that he had. He only had 8 minutes, but ended up with 6 points and an assist, 2 of 2 from the field, and 2 of 2. Got 2 free throws. Look at that. Micić getting free throws. That's pretty surprising. So...
His Achilles heel is always going to be his defense. Like he allowed an and-one. Yeah. And so it's always going to be
that defense. That and-one was bad. Yeah. That was the turnover I was remembering. And then it was immediately like bad foul. You should not even be there. Yeah. And yeah, that's always the situation where I'm like, he has to be, you can't play him with Giddy. It's just, I don't know why. I mean, I guess you kind of have to today because we're kind of short on players and depth with Chang and Dort out, but like we can't have the Micić Giddy minutes.
About the only reason you do that is if Giddy is your big in that lineup. Because you know they're very redundant when they're out there together. They're bad defensively, they're great playmakers, you know, they're okay shot makers from time to time. But yeah, if you're gonna have him out there, it's gonna be because he's the big. He's going to be flashing into the paint when it comes to the zone, and he's going to be, you know, getting rebounds or trying to get rebounds on the defensive end.
The only player I don't think I mentioned while you were out that I think just needs a little bit of credit is Chet. I do want to get your thoughts on this while you're here, because I definitely thought that, it does feel like offenses, or I guess defenses, excuse me, are starting to respect Chet's offense a lot more. Mm-hmm. He's clearly not getting the shot selection that he was even, like I even think just even back to the game we went to, the Orlando Magic game, just in the last 3 games, it doesn't feel like he's as comfortable on offense anymore, because I think defenses are adjusting to what they've seen.
Yeah.
And so tonight he offensively, again, we saw sort of that. I need to double check. Yeah. He wasn't very efficient at all.
Six of 16. Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason I wanted to bring him up was because when it mattered, he stepped up defensively. They were down by 4. Markkanen got the ball on the baseline and a phenomenal block by Chet Holmgren. Ultimately, that block somehow turned into a turnover by us, and it was Jazz ball from the replay center, Why that was overturned, I will never know. But yeah, it didn't end up mattering. But the point is that Chet, four blocks, defensively is still, he's got it. And tonight, it mattered when it mattered most, he stepped up. And so I wanted to give his flowers at least for that. For
sure. To your point on the offensive end, I do think that teams are starting to pack the paint a lot more. And what you're seeing most with definitely. That is yeah. you're seeing Giddy threes, Dort threes, Kaysen threes. You know, you're seeing a lot more of those players taking shots because they're so wide open, because teams are daring them to right. shoot. You know, teams are basically taking the logic of, hey, we're going to take your, not necessarily weakness, because we've been a great shooting team this year. So I'm not going to call it a weakness, but it's definitely not their strength. And so we're going to take what is not your strength and we're going to make you beat us with that. And so that's what they've been doing the last couple games. That's why, you know, Dort and Giddy had such a great shooting night, or was it Dort and Joe and Giddy, I think, had such a great shooting night against the Clippers.
The Clippers, yeah.
But it didn't really matter too much, you know, on the scoreboard, because Shea had a rough night, maybe due to the injury, but also maybe due because, you know, the Clippers were just packing the paint. Same reason why Chet was not having a good night. You know, number one, they have two burly defenders in Plumlee and Tice. But then also they were also packing the paint. You got Kawhi in there. You got Paul George in there. You got all these long, you know, all this length in there. And so I think the Jazz did the same thing today where they were just packing the paint, and Kaysen had a lot of open threes. You know, Giddy had some open looks. And so I think that is the defense that we're starting to see. It's no longer the prayer defense that was, you know, in December. That was, you know, that wasn't working too well for the league. Now it's the, you know, pack the paint, stay on him. Don't let him, you know, don't bite, don't jump on the pump fake threes. And so we're starting to see that a lot. So now we get to see what Chet does and what, you know, Dagnall does to kind of counter that, because that's how the NBA works. You know, after like a certain while, they get scouting reports. This is what you're doing. Now, how do you counter that? How do you, you know, put them in position to succeed? So.
And we've seen Chet adjust pretty quickly in the past. It's definitely not something, shout out Kamel in the chat. We just talked about the zone D, unfortunately. We can talk about it again in a second, but just to finish the Chet point, I think adjustment-wise, I'm pretty confident he will get there, but it's definitely, I actually took a screenshot. I don't think I actually posted it in the Clippers game, where it was like all five guys were in probably like two steps of Chet. And he still tried to go up with it, which was kind of a mistake. Like that's a point. Cause he, in the picture, it was like, I don't remember exactly who, but I know it was like Joe and Dort and I think maybe Shea and somebody else. But so it was like, clearly there were shooters that he could have pulled out to, but he just didn't. He tried to go up with it. And that's a rookie thing. Like you aren't accustomed to this amount of defense kind of pulling in and trying to pack the paint, like you were saying, and that's going to take some game film, some adjustments. And I'm confident he'd come back and see what they do together. I also want to say again, the corner threes, I just don't think Chet's ever going to take another one again. Like tonight, he had a wide open corner three and he was just like, nope, I'm going to take two steps in and I'm going to shoot the mid range instead. And I was like, all right. Yeah. He's not comfortable from there. He loves the top a break threes. He does not love those corner threes. He's not taking them. So
and another thing I noticed today is he had two hot potato passes today where the shot clock was running out. One to Shea, which Shea and all his greatness hit it near, you know, near the
in
the
shot.
At the end of the fourth quarter. And then I think he had one to Joe like in the third quarter that was just hot potato, man. Just, you know, time running out. You go up with it. You're already in the paint. And he decided to kick it out, and it was a 24-second shot clock violation. But again, that's the defense kind of keying in on him, packing the paint. He's seeing all these bodies. You know, this is a rookie. You know, we have to remember he's playing at a high level. He has, you know, Jake Fisher was on a couple of days ago, and he was like, look, by metrics, this guy was playing like a Hall of Famer there at the beginning of the season. But, you know, teams are starting to play him differently, and so he has to adjust.
Yep. That's true. We'll see how that happens in Minnesota Saturday. We'll see how that goes. We've talked for the game about 30 minutes. So, but I want to make sure we've covered everything we want to cover. I think I said all I wanted to say about the game, unless I'm missing anybody. But Alex, did you have any other closing thoughts on this game.
I mean, did you go into any depth about Kaysen?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Great game by him. Great game. Very efficient. He did what he had to do. You know, he had some good defensive plays out there as far as like blocking a three pointer. I think it was, what's his name?
Keontae.
Was it Keontae or was it their
that's other? When I was talking about him, that's who I thought it was, but I couldn't remember in the moment, but I think it was him.
Yeah. And I mean, just great job. Just great job stepping in, like, you know, next man up type situation. And he showed out, man. I'm very proud of him. You know, 6 of 7 from the floor, 4 of 5 from three, 4 rebounds, 1 block, 1 steal. Just, like,
just saying the same thing over and over.
Oh, well, shit, my bad.
I did this already. That's okay. I just saw people that are listening. It's like, I just did the same thing with them. Hey, so it's like,
hey, I loved the gun.
We love Kaysen.
Love Kaysen. Love all their three celebrations. So I'm starting, you know, Kaysen has the put the gun in the holster thing, and then J-Dub has the three on the forehead.
On his head.
Yeah. So I'm loving
also,
it.
Also, shout out the bench celly tonight. They somehow coordinated a synchronized Euro step yeah, between J-Dub, Chet, and J-Will. It was awesome. The funniest thing. Every media outlet tweeted it. It was like went super hot on the internet. So. The celebrations are awesome from this team. When the vibes are good, the vibes are good.
Yes.
So yeah, great game. A great win, a great playoff style game. It felt the intensity was there. We can talk a little bit about Minnesota coming up on Saturday. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about a little bit of trade talks, not too much. But since we've last had our group podcast or like multiple player talk podcast, the Pascal Siakam trade happened. He was from Toronto to Indianapolis. They sent back a lot of different things, but the main part of that was some first round picks and Bruce Brown. And so obviously the Raptors, where they are right now, you've got to think that Bruce Brown be redirected somewhere else, which he can. That is still on the table. And so we as a Thunder podcast have been, for the most part, I think all pretty pro. Hey, Bruce Brown could be a nice add to this team. So I wanted to quickly talk about that. I'll just say my thoughts real quick. A lot of people have been saying, you know, he's only 6'4". We need a big guy to get rebounds, to help Chet, blah, blah, blah. I think that's fair. I also think it doesn't mean just because we get Bruce Brown, we can't get somebody else that is like a lesser value that we don't have to give as much for. And if we can get Bruce Brown for, as we've kind of been discussing, basically Bertans and a first round pick, if that's the value for him, great. Because with Bruce Brown comes a lot. For one, he is a pretty good rebounder for his size. He, and this was kind of, I'm using Cone's point a little bit here. So shout out Cone for these, but he is a championship contender or a championship pedigree player. He just won a title with the Nuggets. That type of veteran presence is good when you're in this stage of, you know, trying to make it in the playoffs and compete. And his contract is really valuable. He signed a team option next year, which when he signed with the Pacers, we were all like, that's awesome for Indiana because he was a little bit overpaid, but it's a team option. It's like, see how he plays, see how it works. And if it doesn't, like, you do not have to keep him. So there's a lot of value in that contract too. So if again, the price is Bertans in the first round, great. We can still use some other assets to help Chet and help the rebounding situation because it's obviously not where we want it to be, but I think Bruce Brown would be a great asset just to help with depth. And again, with a little bit of the rebounding, a little bit with the veteran presence. So I am pro Bruce Brown for those reasons. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm down, man. Like that's the type of player that, number one, is not going to affect you too far in the future. No. And then number two, he could actually, you know, he could actually bring, you know, unlock some things here on this team. Like, you know, right now, as far as backup you know, point guard. We're playing Vasilije Micić, who is stepping up incredibly here lately. But who do you want out there in the playoffs when all the chips are on the table? I would much rather have Bruce Brown other than, you know, instead of Vasilije Micić. Nothing against Micić. Right. I just want players out there that can, you know, dribble, pass, shoot, and defend.
Defense, yes. And big up on defense.
Exactly. And so, you know, those minutes, it could be a possibility that Micić, you can't even play him in the playoffs for, you know, for long periods of time. And so, you know, if you can get a player like that, that is the type of veteran that you can get that can pay dividends immediately. And then also, he's almost controllable. And so if you want to go ahead and re-sign him, maybe for a lower amount, but for, you know, maybe some longer years, you can, you know, you can control that. Or again, you can use him as trade fodder. But yeah, it's almost a no-brainer depending on what the cost is.
Yeah, I didn't see the message in the YouTube. I don't apologize if my mic is choppy. My internet did go out for like a smidge, so that might have been why. But also,
I was hoping it wasn't me.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully it's fine. But if it was, I apologize. But Camille in our chat was just said, in our minds, our rebound issues are more about player communications, are more about player communications more than capabilities. That could be part of it. And that's more of a coaching thing. But I do think, you know, regardless of what it is, it doesn't hurt to have some extra rebounding, some extra depth in general in that department. So, not really looking for a Markkanen at this point where he's like a high value guy or like
God, that guy's huge. I did not realize how big he was.
God, I just watching him play today, I was like, it'd be so nice if we had him, but I know we can't. It's too expensive. It's just like looking at, I don't know, I don't have a good analogy, but like if you're looking at a Ferrari in the window and you're teacher who makes $35,000.
You're making Ford Escort money.
Yeah. It's like, oh God, I'd want it so bad, but I can't. It's too expensive.
But I mean, here's the thing. We say that from our vantage point, but the Thunder are the guy that has $20 million in the bank. You know, he has all these, you know, all these luxury apartments that he can sell at any time. You can, you know, give them away. Or so, I mean, the Thunder, if they wanted to, they probably could. But here's the thing, man. I like that Utah team. That Utah team is good. It's fun. And they are going to be, you know, if Danny Ainge does not completely blow it up like he did last season and traded like, you know, three or four rotational pieces from their team.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's going to be a hard out in the first round of the playoffs, man. It's going to be real tough for a team. And it could even be the Thunder. You know, they can get all the way up to about, you know, 6 or 7, and we could slide down to about 3 or stay at 2. We're going to see them in the playoffs. And so, yeah.
I do not want to see them. I do not want to see them. Yeah, well, we can talk more about, like, their trade stuff, because we're going to have Alex Spears on the pod tomorrow, so we can get into in-depth on any of that with him for sure. But yeah, just to kind of finish the Bruce Brown story, like, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen. We haven't heard anything about it from any reliable sources. We usually don't anyway. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean one way or the other, but it's definitely a thing to think about. And again, there's definitely some value without giving up too much for him. So there's all the other trade assets we've talked about, not trades, but trade targets we've talked about. To some extent, there's nothing else really new that I've seen. People have been mentioning Cam Johnson was thrown out there, which I kind of like.
Oh, yeah, because that report came out that basically, you know, Brooklyn said that all their players are available.
Yeah, and so then it's like, oh, get everybody. And so, yeah, there's like Cam and Mikal, but yeah, or those aren't real, I don't think, but they'd be fun too. So anyway, we'll talk more about any other trade stuff on our next podcast, but I just wanted to bring up the relevant stuff before we leave. And then Alex, you mentioned the Amazon thing. I saw it too. I don't quite understand it. What I read is it's sort of like with Thursday Night Football where it's just on Prime, but I could be totally wrong about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's out there. It's not very clear as to how it's going to work. You know, it's not very clear if it's like, oh, if you already have Amazon Prime, you're going to have access to all these games. Or, you know, you're going to have to pay an extra little subscription to view these games. You know, that hasn't been put out there yet. But listen, man, the quicker we can get rid of freaking Bally Sports, the better, man. I'm getting tired of them.
Every day new stuff comes out that's anti-Bally. I'm just like, bless up, brother. Like, just yes, get them out of my life. So, yeah, that came out Amazon. In some way, shape, or form, you'll be able to watch on their streaming platform one day. And that's kind of all we got. We did also
Until then, you know, on Fridays, you can watch the games on your local KSBI or here in Lawton is Channel 7 ME, you know, wherever you can get those, go ahead and watch them on Friday nights, man.
I realize I don't think show we your ever kids. Mentioned it. Yeah. Did we ever talk about, I don't think we ever talked about the Friday, the announcement that all the games are going to be on Fridays on local TV. Maybe we did, and I just can't remember, but
no, we haven't.
If we didn't, now you know, because they have a deal with I don't remember the media group, but the Fridays are now going to not be on it's not going to be on Bally. It will be on KSBI. So you have Bally Sports.
Beginning on the 26th. On the 26th of January.
Next Friday. Yeah. That if you do have Bally Sports, it's kind of a problem because there are some people in the I think it was in like Nebraska, I think, or in that area where it's like they're blacked out for League Pass still, but they're too far away to get the signal for KSBI. Yeah. So those guys kind of got screwed, unfortunately.
Maddie Moles got screwed.
Maddie Moles, I don't know if he's in Nebraska, but I don't know if he's in like that part of Nebraska. So hopefully he's got it. But if he doesn't, that sucks. And it does suck for those guys, but it is a general step in the right direction. We want everyone to watch the Thunder. We don't want to have to you literally have to confirm your location every single time you log into Bally Sports. You have to connect your TV provider every single time. You can't, it doesn't like autosave. It's so many extra buttons. And like anybody that's not like 35 or 40 and under, or maybe that's maybe too young, but like 50 and under is not going to want to deal with that technology. Like they're just going to want to be like, I want to turn on the TV and watch it. And so this is the step in the right direction
And that is the battle that the NBA is fighting also, because you have a generation that is fully streaming and then you have another generation that is fully cable. And so, you know, where do we meet in the middle to get, you know, to get the most eyes on the product?
Yeah. So that's a step in the right direction for sure. So, yeah, I think that's it. I think we're good. I do want to mention before we head out again, we have an interview coming up. It won't be live, but it will be on the YouTube. So be looking out for that this weekend, probably, if I can get it edited in time. It'll be a fun one. Alex Spears is a fun guy from Down to Dunk. So we're happy to have him on. He's a funny guy. So we'll probably talk trade talks. I also wanted to do like mid-season grades since we're midway through the season. I thought that'd be a good
time. That was game 41, wasn't it?
It was game 41. Yeah, I was thinking about that today. I was like, we should do mid-season grades. So we'll do that. We'll do some other fun stuff. We'll maybe ask for some questions. You guys can bring up some topics you want to bring up. It'll be a fun time. So look out for that. That'll be the next pod coming up. And then I do want to mention real briefly. So we are planning on some adjustments with the schedule, and I think this is for the better. We are still going to be coming to you regularly, but it won't necessarily be directly after every game. We, as a group, you know, we have lives, jobs, families, whatever. And so what we've decided to do that, and we've kind of done this in the past, but we're just coming back to it. We're trying to get back to consistency, is we're going to be doing 2 days a week. We're still fleshing out those 2 days. I think we've got them, but I don't want to say too exactly yet. We'll let you guys know. But it will be the same 2 days every week. And I think the reason that's good is if you're listening to the podcast right now, you're going to know exactly what day those podcasts are in your feed. It's not going to be like kind of random on what day it is. So like if you like to listen to a podcast on like a Wednesday, if we post it out on Wednesdays, you'll always have it there. So just building a little bit of trust between you guys and us, and also kind of helping us out by not putting too much stress on our other personal lives. So that's coming in the word works. We'll keep you guys posted here on Twitter, anywhere you guys listen to us. So just a little bit of, I don't know what you call that. Logistics to mention before we head out. So, all right, Alex, you have anything else before?
That's all I got, man. Just that's it. Can't wait for tomorrow.
Tomorrow it's gonna be fun. Well, you guys won't see it tomorrow, unfortunately, but the weekend you guys will get to hear it. So until then, we will be back on sometime this weekend, and then next week to recap the Minnesota game. So until then, hoop when you can. God bless. And as always,
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Peace out.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.